Hi, welcome to the Trading Desk and Watchbox. This is Jason Main, Joshua Thanos, two lead buyers for Watchbox and yeah. Govberg, and happy Friday.
Jason. We are back for our third episode.
Oh, that's right. This is number three.
Yeah, I don't know if we have it with the little three on there. We did the two last time. Hopefully, we do. Welcome back, guys. Thanks for tuning back in. I think we have a pretty cool show. It's going to be a little bit more subjective, I would say. This episode, yes. We have some cool stuff to talk about. A little less by the numbers
right.
as last time. Last time, we both kind of walked away and felt like that was a little tedious.
Yeah, that was so a very I think this is going to be
a little bit more of a fun show for you guys. I think, what do you want to do? You want to roll right into wrist shots?
Yeah, wrist shots first. Right. You go first.
I will go first. Yeah. So, an intro into next week. Josh is going to have a special guest on the show because I won't be here. I will be wearing this Rolex 114060 as I do most days. This is the ceramic non-date. If you guys don't know what this watch feels like, I would find one to put on your wrist. It's quite comfortable. And just a great everyday watch. I love mine. And the reason I will not be here next week is I am going to be wearing this in Atlanta when I go to Blade Show.
Oh, you're buying knives.
Probably the largest, well, is the largest knife show in the country. And by popular request, I have some stuff here to show you, which I happen to be carrying today. So we can zoom in on this.
All right. So this you're the crazy guy who decided to bring a knife into the studio. All right.
This is a one-off, only one like it. It's a David Mosier custom knife. And that's completely built by hand, no CNC. And
so how do you tell time with that thing?
It's very easy. yeah. And then this is actually an entirely different world. This is a custom slip joint. So more of a traditional knife, and this is made by a gentleman, Ricardo Romano. This is a Brazilian maker. So this knife made its way all the way from Brazil.
So don't piss Jason off, because he always carries at least two knives on him. All right, my wrist check. Something you guys have seen before. There we go. This is my Aerospace Advantage. It's the titanium 42 millimeter. They don't make the size any longer. They upgraded to a 43 with a little bit of a larger bezel. I prefer this. Watch. I've said it many times. I believe that this may be the best Breitling ever made. I have it on a professional rubber strap with the stainless steel sliding clasp, which is fantastic. It works similar to actually Jason's clasp on his Submariner, where it slides easily and readjusts for different sizes. The reason why I'm wearing this watch today is because I'm heading to Miami tomorrow, where it's been very rainy. So I had to wear something that I didn't really care about getting too wet, and I've been wearing the Panerai a little bit too much. So, and if you do a search for this watch online, you're going to see a lot of them with the gray and the blue dials. This one has a white dial, and I've been told by somebody that it's rare, which is something we'll be talking about a little bit later. So I thought to myself, well, if it's rare, it must be worth more money. Right, Jason?
Yeah, must be. I think we'll get to that a little bit later in the episode.
Yeah.
Little foreshadowing for you guys on what tonight's topic is going to be. Yeah. Assuming you hadn't read the description.
Yes.
That's printed below the video.
So, but this watch is probably one of the most complicated watches in terms of the amounts of complications that Breitling makes. It has a minute repeater, a chronograph, a dual time, full. I think it's an annual calendar as well. Actually, I know it is because I haven't had to set it this year.
It's backlit.
Yes, backlit.
Is that the thermal quartz? Movement?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
it's a great watch. It's very complicated for what it is, but the one cool thing about that watch is relatively easy to use. Even though it has all those complications, it's all through one central crown, which is really nice.
And you can pick up this watch for probably right around $2,500 if you don't want to look too hard for a good deal. Less, obviously, if you want to kind of search.
There's a version of that I would recommend you guys look at called the Evo Night Mission, which is the larger case in the black titanium with that green canvas strap. Very handsome watch.
Yeah, so that's the newer style. That's a 43 millimeter that he's talking about. That one, not my favorite, but I know you like the Evo Night. Possibly your next watch?
No.
Okay, well, cool. All right, Jason, what's up next?
You tell me. You want to roll into the poll?
Yes. So just like every week, we're doing this or that. It's a battle head-to-head of two watches, one picked by myself, one picked by Jason. This or that.
Yeah. So we got a little graphic there.
Bam.
So
nice.
Just to kind of get into it, this week was Josh's week to pick the watch.
Yeah.
And then I picked the con to that or the that to that. So why don't you go first since I went first with the wrist shot.
I picked this watch. Let's go ahead and get a little zoom in.
He brought one in to cheat.
That's right. I got to win once. There we go. So this is the 116710, the original ceramic GMT made by Rolex. It's a watch that's still in production. We've heard rumors here or there that might be discontinued. I think it would be good for value retention if it was. If not, regardless, the watch is a fantastic piece. So this is a 40 millimeter. It's the GMT. It has the this one has the newer style clasp, has solid end links, maxi case, fantastic travel watch. I think that this is a watch that every watch collector could possibly own in his watch collecting lifestyle. You could probably pick up these watches right now, are probably selling for right around list price, pre-owned even, because what's happening with Rolex. And the reason why I picked this watch is that I showed this to a customer yesterday. He ended up with a picking a Panerai, but he wanted to see this watch. I put it on my wrist and I thought it was fantastic. So there you go, a 116710, the all black variation, not the Batman, which is I guess like a little bit more of the hyped up watch.
Yeah, this is the ugly stepsister of the Batman.
All right, hear that? He called a Rolex ugly.
Listen, I shoot from the hip. I tell you,
wearing
if Rolex. We want to cut to the, I think there are some larger still images of the Rolex that look a little bit better for presentation point than
maybe
than
yes.
your hands,
or maybe not. Either
or
way.
Not.
There hey, we there we go.
That's so we do have that watch that Joshua
right.
showed
with
you
the
is
green
for
hand.
Sale, and
fantastic.
That's the actual photo from the website.
That's the same watch?
Yeah, that's our watch.
Oh,
and
well,
then
mine has fingerprints all over it.
Yeah. It is, I mean, it is nice, I will say. But
it's an awesome watch.
You mustn't be afraid to dream a little bit bigger.
Okay, fair enough.
So this is, this for me, or yeah, the this week, mm-hmm. is the brand new, we haven't seen one of these in person yet, just came out at Basel. This is the JLC. I think we have some gorgeous pictures of this.
Well, we got the Chrono, and we might have this watch actually.
Don't know if we've gotten a World Timer just yet.
No.
But,
it's
you
cool.
know, the theme, you can look at that dial, it's absolutely gorgeous. The theme of the week, judging from Josh's pick, was, you know, a GMT under 15 grand or so, even though his comes in a little under 10 mm-hmm. At retail. So this guy here is 44 millimeter case, but titanium. So it's the lightest of the group. You know, besides just the GMT feature, we go a little bit outside the box and we have a full world time. Okay, so automatic in-house caliber, 65 hour power reserve, still maintains the 100 meters just like the Rolex,
mm-hmm.
Which makes it nice and sporty.
Though the leather strap's probably not gonna.
Yeah, this is available on a bracelet, it's available on rubber,
okay.
or it's available on alligator.
Okay.
You know, 14.6 retail. On alligator, a little bit cheaper on rubber,
mm-hmm.
and I think the bracelet's right around there, a little bit more than that. But like I said, hours, minutes, chronograph, in-house, 65 hours, world time, deployant. Just, you know, for me, that dial, if you get back into the dial, you know, it just checks all the boxes.
This
is something I would wear for sure. And it's 44, so it's going to wear kind of like my Pam, but titanium, nice and lightweight.
Yeah. So. And well, so we did have one of the chronographs in-house, the new Polaris chronographs. And I thought being a 44, the watch was going to be a little too large. Honestly, it's not. It's
right.
really nice. We actually sold that pretty quickly. That sold full list price, no questions asked. It's a watch that's actually pretty hot, and JLC is kind of on the move in that regard. When I first saw pictures of these, it was Basel, right? What came out?
Right, yeah.
Was not impressed, I'll be honest with you. Did not think it was cool. The watch came in, I put it on my wrist, I'm like, oh, wow, this thing's really nice. So I'd say that even though, you know, if it wasn't up against my pick, it would be a nice watch, but unfortunately, it will lose. You guys look at the poll. Go ahead and vote for the GMT, please. My GMT, the 116710. And we can – do we have
You vote for Josh yet? If you feel bad for him.
We don't
but
have
we all
results.
Know that the JLC is a nicer piece.
Is the poll working? Okay, it's working. Oh, poll result. Hey, look at – hey. Oh, wait. What the hell?
Yeah.
No. This is fake news again.
I think, you know, what you should be happy about, Josh,
Jeez.
Is that this further, you know, embraces what
yeah.
we've been talking about the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
Rolex is on a high. People are like, I don't know if I should spend that much money on a time only or a GMT.
God.
Let me go find more value for my money.
Right. So
and,
you're going to spend
so if anything,
$6,000
you should be
more for this watch
losing.
Or $8,000 more for this
yeah,
watch.
Yeah, you should be happier losing because we go back into, back into your point.
So, all right. Well, guys, I'm sure that they'll even out. I'm sure that I'm sure that the votes will even out, and I will win in the end because, I mean, I don't understand how you guys are picking that watch over the GMT. While it's a good watch, it's not as good as the GMT. Rolex. All right. Great. So keep voting during the entire show. At the end, we'll show who the real winner was, and that person will get up and cheer for themselves. All right. Next segment, weekly market assessment. If you guys have been watching, you'll know that this is something that we're hitting every week. Last week, again, I think we made a mistake. We got a little too granular with some of the results. So this week, we're going to get back to kind of what we do in the office, which is debate, you know, certain things and,
right.
and have more of a free-flowing conversation about watch values. Alrighty, Jason.
Yes, right. Josh.
So one thing that I wanted to talk about is a topic that came up. I've had some customers ask as well. About a rare watch versus a valuable watch, right? So, Jason, if a watch is rare, which means it's somewhat hard to find,
right?
Is it valuable?
So I think that a common misconception is because you've never seen another one for sale or because they're hard to find online, that it must be worth a lot of money, right?
Could possibly be the case.
Yeah, it's not. It's the exception, not the rule.
Right.
More often than not, just because you might have something that's very old or is not commonly seen doesn't mean that there's a market for it.
Right.
We talk all the time about...
And usually, that actually, if you don't see them online, because right. of the state of the industry and everything that's happening online, there are many dealers who don't have the watches, but because they know they're in demand, they'll post them for sale online, right? At probably prices that are higher than what they'll sell for. So if you see a watch with a high retail, say, for example... A Chrono Swiss, right? Gold Chrono Swiss. Actually kind of a cool watch. Nice movement. Here, let's see if we can get a close-up. So this is a chronoscope. This is a mono-pusher chrono. It's not wound, so the chronograph is not going to work. But mono-pusher chrono in rose gold. I believe I have the retail price here. Yeah, so this is a roughly $17,000 retail watch. Should you spend $17,000 on this watch, Jason?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, so you shouldn't do that, right? Are there many of these for sale online?
Probably
no.
not.
You know why? Because there's not a higher demand for this watch. But that gives you a little bit of a value proposition, which we talk about. So, again, being rare or a watch that's hard to find does not always mean that it's valuable. So that's one thing that we run into all the time as traders. So we'll have a customer, first-time customer, reach out to us, tell me about this amazing watch that he has, and you know he bought it in the Bahamas or he bought it in Switzerland or you know it was gifted to him or whatever. He can't find another one, so he wants $25,000 for the watch just because that's what he believes it's worth. And then we have to explain, hey, listen, you know there's a certain market for certain watches. There's a hard, solid market for certain watches. Similar to the Rolex GMT, the 11610, right? Where we know exactly what to pay for it, basically down to the dollar, because we know exactly what it's going to sell for, basically down to the dollar. When, in fact, you get a watch like this, where it's highly speculative.
Yeah, very much so. That watch sells when somebody says, you know what, I get a lot of value for the money.
Mm-hmm.
And also when you get that one guy that's just like, I like the fact that nobody else has this watch.
Right.
And so, it's weird and quirky.
When you have a roughly $20,000 watch that you can buy for $8,000, it's a mono pusher chrono.
Or even less, depends on, you know, those exist in steel.
Yes.
You can get that watch for,
probably
you know, pennies
grand.
On the dollar.
Exactly.
So one of the things also that I want to touch on is with this topic, doesn't mean that the watch is not cool.
No, the watch is awesome.
The watch is cool. The movement's nice.
Any mono pusher chrono is cool.
I mean, for us, we like watches just as much as the next guy, maybe even more
Way more.
So just because maybe we can't buy it because there's no secondary market, the secondary market is dictated by our clients, not by us, right? Or by what people are after. So just because I think a watch is cool doesn't mean I don't want to have a conversation with, you know, let me know about the watch, but I may not be able to buy it.
Right. I mean, one of my favorite watches that I own is a Parolet Turbine, right? I think it's like
a
$7,000 retail.
Parallels.
We don't. But that watch has like a roughly $7,000 retail, and I think you can find it online, listed as brand new, like $2,500. Doesn't mean I love the watch any less. In fact, it's probably one of my favorite watches.
Right.
But in terms of resale value, if I ever wanted to sell that watch, I would have a real tough time. So, you know, that's one thing we kind of wanted to focus on today, right? So we brought a few watches that are in that. So Chrono Swiss is one of those brands. Horologically, it's decent. It's well-finished movement. Here, let's see if we can get a close-up of the movement. You can see it's probably a much more finished movement than any of the Rolexes you'll ever find. Right?
So I was going to say, there are some Chrono Swisses that are strictly manual wound.
Yeah.
And those are very nicely decorated as well, and you get the rotor out of the way. You can see it's actually a really nice piece.
Yeah.
You know.
So if you like the way the watch looks and you want a well-made mono pusher chrono in solid gold for less than $10,000, Chrono Swiss is a way to go. But if you were to buy that watch at a boutique, brand new, and they wanted to give you a 5% discount, I would say probably walk out of the store, right?
Was CrownSwiss even around anymore?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think they are, actually.
Okay, well.
But so no boutiques for CrownSwiss, but buy a pre-owned one.
Right. So that's the point. So this is where a lot of guys are looking to spend a lot of their money, because when we look at the watches that, you know, are hard to get, right? So, you know, a stainless steel sport model Rolex, you're not walking into a dealer and finding it in the case right now. So the last, what, roughly year,
right,
things have gotten real tight. Demand has gone skyrocketed. You know, there's different factors. The economy's good. The, you know, the
Rolex being very good at what they do.
Right, Rolex being extremely good at what they do, and then also limiting a little bit of the distribution. These watches are hard to get. Are they rare? I wouldn't call it rare, but it's rare to find a new one right now. Would you say that? That
I
would
think
be the case?
It's, yes, it's hard to find, so it'll be scarce.
Right.
Doesn't mean that the watch doesn't exist in massive quantities.
Yeah.
Right, so it's not rare in the sense that you can't find one out there because they're everywhere. You may pay more to get one now because you can't find one new, but it doesn't mean that the watch is scarce.
Right. Like, so, well, it's like a 5711, you know,
right,
and this is a debate that's been going on a lot. You look at some of the forums that you go onto, the Rolex forum and Watch Pro site and places like that, Purist Pro, you see, like, you know, incredulous watch collectors saying, I don't understand, why can't I walk into an AD and get a 5711, but there's 50 of them listed through, you know, gray market or pre-owned for, you know, well above list. So is that watch rare, right? Well, it's
kind
rare to find a new one because the demand is so high and the watch. So what happens is demand goes up, right? Allocation stays the same or goes down. The watch value from a pre-owned perspective skyrockets, then it creates a situation for authorized dealers such as us, who, you know, we have to be very careful who we sell these watches to, because Patek Philippe and Rolex are not giving us these watches so that we can sell them over list. We don't do that. We cannot do that. That's a situation where you'll get shut down almost immediately. I know Rolex does that quickly. So does Patek. That's huge business, right?
Right.
So then you have to be very careful at who you sell this to, because if that watch shows up on a gray market site, or if we sell a 5711 and 2 weeks later, that, or a week later, a day later, that shows up on a website and you know, they're able to identify that that's a watch,
sure,
we sold and it's being listed for well above list, you know, that's a situation where dealers, it's a sticky situation. So we have to be very careful over who we sell these watches to. So now creates a situation where it's not a first come first serve, unfortunately, right? And then people go and look elsewhere. So again, back to our point is that people just get fed up with a lot of that, right? So they don't want to have to pay over list, and they don't want to wait 2 years. So they take their money and say, "All right, what else can I buy of value?" And then the idea of value changes,
right?
That's
so
where it comes
some,
into.
To some people, their time is worth more than whatever the secondary on that is.
I believe that.
You're a lawyer, you're billing a certain amount of money an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not worth you waiting, you know, maybe $5,000 is not worth 2 years,
right,
to wait. Maybe you spend $10,000 because your time's worth more than that, and you have to have it and you have the means to buy it. You know, anybody can justify anything. Just depends on how much you want something and what kind of cheddar,
right,
you got,
well,
to
so,
spread.
Right. So then so you get fed up with all that, right?
Right.
You don't want to wait, and you don't want to spend double the retail price for a used one that doesn't have your name on the papers. So what do? Then you go to look, you go and look, and you spend your money elsewhere. So then you say, "All right, well, I can spend double retail on a Daytona, right? Or I can spend half or less retail on something funky." And
sure,
out of the beaten path. And what happens is, you know, guys who probably have already owned Daytonas, guys who've owned Submariners, own the, you know, the Pateks, that's who ends up, you know, owning things like CrownSwisses and, you know, gold Chopard Mille Miglias also. So, you know, roughly a $20,000 retail, this is a watch that, you know, you can find online listed for under 10. So let's see here. Can we get a, sorry, I'm tracking you here. 8. All right. So gold, a solid gold 43mm Mille Miglia, right, on a gold deployant buckle, you can get that for half the price of a stainless steel Daytona currently on the market. Well, I mean, you know, where's your money going to be spent? You know, I think that's kind of what we're talking about right now, right?
Yeah, so that's another piece that obviously also, you know, the Mille Miglia is a piece that's pretty pretty well known between watch guys. I mean, it's a watch that's relatively cheap on the secondary market, but for an automatic chronograph, for what you get for the money, it exists in stainless steel for a couple thousand dollars. You know, it's not a very easy watch to sell. You can find them everywhere, but what that means is that you can generally find a pretty good price on one.
Yeah, and well, and you have to determine what a pretty good price is, because also a watch like this, so if you're trying to sell any of these watches privately, it's going to take you a long time.
Right.
So there's that too. So if you're a high volume trader, you have to be careful buying things like this too.
True.
So the perfect buyer for watches like this is somebody who has maybe owned, you know, all like the hottest watches, is kind of over that, still might have some of those watches, who, you know, maybe you're in a situation where you're meeting some new people and you want to make sure you have a Rolex on, so, you know, business meetings or whatever it may be. So maybe you have the Rolex, but you want something funky, something that you like, that's not going to break the bank. Well, that's and you're not a super high volume trader where, you know, you're not going to buy this, buy the Chrono Swiss for, you know, $8,000 or $9,000 and then want to trade it back to the same dealer or try to trade it online, you know, the next week, because there's a small limited market for a watch like this. So say there's, you know, at any given time, a million people who want to buy a Submariner. It's an easy watch to sell. You could probably sell it in a day if you needed the money.
Sure.
Probably going to take a little bit longer than a day to sell this watch. I mean, I think we've had this for some time, right? So, you know, and we have probably the largest reach in the industry.
Imagine
if it takes us, say, 3 or 4 months to sell this watch. Imagine how long it would take you as a private seller to find the one buyer who felt comfortable enough to send you $8,000 or $9,000 and trust that you're going to send them what, you know, what you promised.
Yeah. So back to the speculation of it. If you're looking to get out of that watch, just be very careful with what you buy it for.
Right. Which is fine. You know, that's a watch that, to be honest, okay, we do this every day. People are going to negotiate on these. We're not guys like us, and most of the guys in the industry who know what they're doing are not going to sell a watch for less than for half of what they're listing it for. But I mean, we'll be straight up. Some watches are going to be negotiable. The 6710 is probably not a very negotiable watch, right? Maybe this is a watch that sells within $100 of its asking price on a pre-owned basis. The gold Chopard, maybe it's $1,000, right? So it's going to be there's a difference between an ask price on a watch like that and ask price on a watch.
Sure.
Like
how
the
long
Rolex.
We've had it demands what, you know, what we've put into it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're more flexible on something like that because we know it's going to be a harder sell.
Right.
So yeah, same
and
thing
when
as
we
on
say,
a private
when we say
level,
we,
but
we're talking about dealers in general, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, of the four watches on the table, those are just prime examples, and we'll get into one or two more. Prime examples of stuff that is just kind of, you got to get into it. It's a little bit of a tricky situation if you try and get out of it, but you want to be in it at the right price if you're looking to flip it.
Right, exactly. And
be prepared
to
spend your time, you know, answering inquiries on it, you know, shipping, all the selling fees, PayPal, eBay, whatever route you go with, Chrono 24, you know, there's some hassle that goes with that. So again, it's what's your time worth.
Right, so whereas like, you know, a lot of my customers will call me and say, hey, I want a watch that I can wear for a while and sell for what I paid for it, okay?
Sure.
So while that might not always be the case or really ever be the case, maybe it's going to cost you a little bit, right, to if you institute your time or you include your time and whatnot in a watch like this, you can, within, you know, a few hundred dollars, you can buy a watch like this and sell it and you know, keep what you spent, right? So essentially wear it for free, right?
Or close, yeah.
Right, exactly. Whereas A watch like the Chrono Swiss, it's going to cost you something to own, no matter what, in my opinion.
Sorry.
I mean, unless Chrono Swiss blows up, which I don't see them doing, you know, no matter how much you spend on this, it's going to cost you a certain percentage, maybe 20%, 25%, roughly, depending on, again, what you spend on the watch in order to own it over time.
Right.
You know? So that's one thing you want to keep in mind. You make sure you understand that, you know, I mean, in the end, anything you buy, especially luxury goods, should cost you something, right?
Right.
If it doesn't, if it costs you nothing or you make money on it, that's a bonus if this is not your business.
Sure.
Right? But when it comes to off-brand watches, it's always going to cost you something. And just be prepared and just understand that. Listen, if you can – the way I look at it, and I always tell people because it's true, watches that I buy for myself, they cost me money when I trade them. You know, and that's what I do for a living. But personally, I'm not, you know, I'm not set up to warranty, guarantee watches.
Right.
I don't have a big eBay store. I don't have a Chrono 24 account. I'm just selling these things personally on a personal basis. So if I take $1,000 or $2,000 hit on a watch that I spend $5,000 or $6,000, well, listen, I can afford it. That's why I spent the money ahead of time. So, you know, and I'll use that money that I have set aside for other watches.
And there's no, you know, there's no getting around it. Luxury goods, this is money that we are ready to spare, right? We're ready to throw it away. So sometimes, you really can't, I mean, it's nice to know that it's worth something later, but you can't buy a watch because in 2 years you're going to need to pay your rent, sell it,
right?
It's just, it's free money or play money at that point. It's something that we buy because we enjoy it, just like any hobby.
Part of it sometimes, and I know how you are with your knives, part of it sometimes is like the thrill of the chase and getting the best deal and being able to flip, which is fine. And if you're set up to do that, if you have an established eBay store and you have a good watchmaker and you put in the time and effort, then I know I have plenty of friends, guys who will do that, buy watches, flip them, either get all their money back or make a little bit, right?
Right.
But you have to understand, if you walk into this completely uneducated, buy a watch, and the guy at the boutique says, hey, don't worry, this watch is going to be worth more than what you pay for it. Well, number one, look at him and assume he's a liar, right? Because I've never told anybody that, you know, as a pre-owned watch dealer. I know you haven't either, right? Hopefully not.
Yeah, and I've sold watches new as well. I mean,
Nui Bells, haven't you? Shame on you.
There's a lot of watches that cross this table on a secondary market or a pre-owned that I will tell you I'm sorry if I sold you one new. Straight up telling someone that the watch is going to go up in value, unless there's probable cause to believe that, like it's a numbered limited edition and very hard to get at the time, then I could see someone saying something like that. But, you know, I walked into a certain retailer because there's a watch coming out at Basel that I really want to see. Mm-hmm. We talked about it in a past episode. It's a certain dive watch. And guy told me that the one that I want is going to be the hardest one to get, and tried to get me to put a deposit down because it's going to be more on the secondary market than new when it first comes out.
What brand was this? Which watch?
It's a certain Greek alphabet letter.
Oh, okay.
So I,
I'm buying that.
Thank you very
too,
much, but... and I walked away. But there's just no way that watch is going to go for more than list.
No.
And it's just to think so is throwing your money away.
Right. Exactly.
So I did want to. I know we were talking about this for a little while.
Sure.
In the interest of keeping the show going, I think we have a bunch of questions piling up in the inbox.
Do we?
So
have if
you want to take
ones?
A look at, I saw one in here. Let's see. Basically asking, trying to find it. See if we were basically trying to prop up the ChronoSwiss market with our advertisement.
Yes, we are. You send me money.
So we have thousands of ChronoSwiss watches that we need to liquidate. That's why we're doing this YouTube show. You caught us. The entire reason why this show exists is to liquidate ChronoSwisses.
3-4 years of Tim's time.
So the idea of that topic is specifically telling you to be careful when you buy ChronoSwisses. So we're not sitting here trying to...
Right, we're saying, listen,
the watch is available, and if you want to buy it, call me. But
all these watches are available for sale, essentially. But so buy a ChronoSwiss because you like it, not because you're going to need to sell it to pay your rent, right?
So,
but also, where else are you going to get a solid rose gold mono pusher chrono? Is this full in-house? I think ChronoSwiss might have been in-house movement. An in-house movement, whatever that means, that's an overused term anyways. For less than $10,000, I mean, this thing's freaking awesome.
I don't want to misread this name. Didagolaglia 1?
Okay.
I think I've seen them on the show before. Asking what do we personally think of the new Cartier Santos.
Oh, yeah.
And
you like it, don't you?
Yeah, I actually like the watch. I think it's a nice refinement from the old version of that watch. Seems to wear relatively thin. I think it'll be a big hit for them. Seems to be better put together, as are a lot of the new Cartiers, than the older generation stuff.
Yeah.
And he's asking about if he should hold out for a discount. He doesn't believe the boutiques discount too much. I do know Cartier is shoring up in the primary market. So they are following suit with a lot of other brands and what we're seeing in the market, which is good for Cartier.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, if you're going to buy that Santos, you have that little bit more affirmed feeling that they're not going to be everywhere. They're not going to be super cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else isn't going to buy that watch and get a better deal. But I do think you will get a discount to some degree. So we'll see when they come out
maybe
what they look like.
I've heard good things. I haven't seen the watch in hand, but some of our guys who went to Switzerland, they saw the watches. They really liked them. I think they're going to be fun. I think it's going to be good. So, we have a few other questions here. I see here, would you buy Ibrahim Salam, I guess his name is, would you buy watches that are on a hype like Patek or F.P. Journe, or would you go for similar qualities but less desirable watches? That's basically what we just talked about.
Right.
So the answer is, it's up to you, right? Depending on what you like. That's what I always start with. If you like the Patek and there's hype, go after the Patek. If you like, you know, another watch, but you're worried about value retention, I guess go with the Patek. So that's the answer to that question, which is really not an answer, unfortunately. Sorry.
So I got one from Mr. Michael Lepp.
Okay.
And he said, how much is the White Dog Sport 2 going to go up? And does it eventually match the sub? So for the this or that, which...
His next watch is a White Dog Explorer.
My name's already down. It's already... Yeah,
it's so coming in.
It's coming.
So
it's
full inbound. Disclosure.
So as easy as the this or that would have been for me to pick the Explorer 2 because it's a GMT, it matches very closely. Right. Didn't want to just do like another Rolex versus Rolex. I wanted to find something that was more fun.
And you would have lost.
But it was tough for me because, like I said in the last episode, when I try and pick a watch, automatically my brain goes to like the one that I want for me.
Of course.
So, but yes.
Because you're a shill.
But so the Polar, specifically the 42 millimeter, is already up.
Yeah.
The market on that piece is already up from last year.
Because all Rolexes are up.
Right.
It's not because everyone loves that watch. Well, it's a cool watch.
Everybody loves that watch.
All Rolexes
How could
are
you
up,
not geez. Love that watch? So here's the thing with
I think
that
it's a
watch.
Nice watch.
Here's the thing with that watch. It'll kill this watch in a this or that poll.
Okay.
But I didn't want to embarrass you that
but
badly.
But he didn't want to win that bad. I
so
guess, right, yeah.
The thing is that the reason I'll just give you a quick. The reason why I like that watch quite a bit is it's uncharacteristic for Rolex.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the quirky. It's very much like the Milgauss in my opinion, where it's not your common Rolex. It's a little bit weird for them, and I think in the long run. Once you look back and you say, well, that wasn't a very Rolex in 42 millimeters, eventually it'll probably be discontinued soon. I think it's a really cool piece. It wears very well for its size.
Hmm. 8Rick1Ain, whatever, that's a weird name. He said, Josh, you've never commented on the legendary 50 fathoms and when it's not available in 40 millimeter. Yeah, you're right. I haven't done that. And honestly, if they made a 40 millimeter 50 fathoms, I think it would be a great watch. That'd be a watch that people, especially at the price point, which would be under 10 grand, that would be a great watch to sell. Hear that, Blancpain? Make watches that are wearable. Speaking of that, we have a watch on our desk here that you bought this week. It is a Blancpain, right?
Yes.
It's a watch that you like. Is that a 43 millimeter? Because they make that watch in 38 as well. Why don't you show it to the camera?
Yeah. We'll zoom in on this. So this is part of the segment we usually do with the watches that we bought this week.
Right, but we're disorganized,
and,
as you can see.
Yeah, we're
so.
Just going to go roll into this. So this is the, admittedly, the Bathyscaphe.
Bathyscaphe.
This is admittedly not my favorite color combination of this
piece.
Is that
piece. Titanium or steel?
It is titanium. This is the...
Discontinued.
Right. This is the discontinued gray dial ceramic bezel in titanium. There is a blue on blue version of this, which I like a little bit more. Seems to be kind of more the trend right now with the blue. But just fantastic watch. This is great. I mean, this is probably the only Blancpain that I would wear.
Really? Okay. Well, I don't know. I kind of like some of the Villerays and some of the old
the
stuff.
The Villerays are cool.
The 50 fathoms is great too.
If you want something super
wearable.
Complicated, the Villeray is very nice with the undercase pushers and the moon and all that. But
well, the 38 Bathyscaphe is nice.
Yeah, but from my watches and my style,
and
from what I wear, this is the watch that I would pick up and wear.
Yeah.
You'd
put it on some green military strap.
Yeah,
and,
I would.
Yeah.
And
march down the street with your knives
and
guns.
And you would ask to wear it for the weekend, and I would tell you no.
All right, fair enough.
And you would walk away very sad.
So yeah. In true Blancpain faction, they had a watch in titanium that was wearable and nice, and they decided to discontinue it. That's cool. So now you can only buy a pre-owned, and good news is we sell pre-owned watches.
Do we have one for you that you bought this week?
Yeah, well, I did not buy this watch. Armand in our office bought this watch.
Okay.
I thought it was really cool. I don't really know that much about it, though. It's the Much More from Roger Dubuis. This is a first generation. Am I doing this right? Okay.
There you go.
So this is white gold. It looks a lot like a Franck Mueller, except that it's just a million times better. It has, there you go, an unbelievable movement. This one, I think, has like a 55-hour power reserve. It's an amazing, well, hand-finished movement. This is, it's full white gold. It's the Much More from Roger Dubuis. And those early, like, first-generation Roger Dubuis are unfreaking believable. Amazing watches. Put it this way. This is something I always say. If this said Patek on it, it'd be worth $50,000. I believe this watch will be available for around like $15,000, maybe even less than that. Honestly, I don't know the price on this watch. I just saw it. I thought it was awesome.
It's
I like
very
early
cool.
Roger Dubuis. Their box sets are amazing. They early Roger DeWeese, like first generations, when you bought the watch, they would take like a picture, a Polaroid picture of the watch, print it out, and then glue it to the papers, and then hand sign it. And then there's papers for the case, papers for the movement, papers for the full watch. It comes with this great presentation box. There is, when we talk about off the beaten path and like a lot of value for your money,
yeah,
first generation Roger DeWeese are friggin' fantastic.
Yeah, I really, really like that piece. Older generation stuff, yeah, like we've talked about Showed before, the Easy Diver. I think is a fantastic money watch for the money.
Yeah.
You get that with like the
Sympathies.
I like the Easy Diver, the LaMagna movement. They're just they're very cool.
Sure.
It's a little bit big, but you know, that's a style if you can pull it off. That watch is fantastic. And if you were going to buy like a Frank Mueller anyways, if you are looking for something like that, why wouldn't you buy that?
Like, so early Frank Mueller's are actually nice too, but if you can get a watch like this, which had some probably $25,000, $30,000 retail, you're certainly not paying that for this. Now, it'll fit. It's like an oversized dress watch is what this is, which is kind of the style now. So this is a watch that, you know, went completely out of style, now came back, and if you can find this with a full box set, with especially the way that they presented, I think there's a ton of value, and I think that this is a watch that one day will be actually worth some serious money. Or if not, it's a great value regardless. The buckle's nice. Everything about this watch is really cool. Yeah. All right. Do we have any more questions?
I got one from Christoph.
Okay.
He's asking if we think the new Rolex Pepsi will be a product for a short run like the Seadweller 4000.
I don't think so. The reason why the Seadweller 4000 was discontinued is because it didn't sell well through retail.
Right.
Do I think that the Pepsi's going to not sell well through retail? Well, if I let me call the 1,500 people who've asked me for this watch already.
Yeah, so exactly. The Seadweller 4000 kind of flopped at a retail level, mm-hmm, and up until about a year ago, maybe a little bit longer than that.
Megatron, you'd be incorrect. Go ahead.
Maybe about a year ago, you could find that watch in the case and get a discount on it before the Rolex really started spooling up. Then they discontinued that piece. And people start taking notice of a two-year run sports model stainless steel Rolex that's no longer being made, and basically know what the market's going to do and buy the watch and hold on to it. The stainless steel Pepsi, to your question, is already hand over fist more in demand than that piece ever was.
Right.
So no, I think that Rolex will do the smart thing and ride that out for as long as they can.
Yeah, agree. All right, I think we're done.
You want to call it?
Sure. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. I had some fun. Hopefully you guys had some fun. Yeah. Jason won't be here next week, so it'll be me and whoever we decide to put next to me, somebody from our sales team. Should be fun. Subscribe to our channel, Watchbox. Also, check us out on Instagram. I am MR Thanos. Pretty easy, pretty simple. He's got some weird, what is it?
It's Evo X 4B11, right. And our cell phones are on the screen.
Yeah.
And before we leave, can we pull up the poll one last time?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Let's pull up the poll.
All right, let's pull up the
fake news. I think Josh said he was going to dance.
Pull up the fake news. Do we have it?
Ooh, he's got closer, but still undefeated, my friend.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck.
Well, I won't be here next week, so you'll win.
Yes.
There you go.
Or I'll default. Lose, possibly.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. We'll go ahead and skim through all these questions and comments. And reply. Have a good one. Okay.